Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Boom. There. Edited.
That was fast.
I didn't edit the audio, so I just decided to cut it early. I know, it's kind of jarring, kind of bad. I'll make up for it later. Anyway, this is the Tiny Shutter Podcast, starting abruptly. I am Mark Sadowski.
I'm Matt Hoffman.
And I'm Joseph Ferrer.
And we are here to talk about iPhone photography all the time, everywhere, 24/7, in this fairly 1 hour podcast. Anyway.
If you keep playing it over and over again.
There you go. That's the way to do it. So good week for you guys. I haven't done much iPhone photography this week. How about you guys?
I'm having a slow week myself, but that's all going to change Friday.
Nice. Where are you off to?
I'm headed to the north end of Baxter State Park in Maine. So I don't know, north central Maine.
Sweet. Is that like mountainous, that just wooded? Like what's the plan up there?
Well, I'm going to be on a lake, but it's everything you just said. There's mountains. I'll be reasonably close to the tallest mountain in Maine. That's Mount Katahdin. That's where the Appalachian Trail ends. And
depending on how you look at it. Yeah.
What's that?
Or begins, depending on how you look at it.
Well, for most people, that's where it ends.
Really? I always thought people go from north to south.
No, you start in the south. In the springtime, where the weather's nicer, and as you progress north, you just constantly have decent warm weather.
Ah, I learned something new. I need some a eureka.
Some people do go north to south, but the problem with that is you hit all the hard sections right away. And most people, if they haven't done that type of hiking before, are not prepared for that. So the success rate going north to south on the Appalachian Trail is much lower than going south to north.
Ah, look at that. We learned something. I need a soundbite for saying, the more you know.
Oh, G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. I'll do this for
you
now.
Get that one.
Messy. There we go.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah, that was very much not iPhone photography related, but
but no, it soon will be.
We expect to see some good stuff come next week.
Yeah, I hope so.
Cool. How about you, Joe?
iPhone photography related. I removed 900 images from my iPhone. That counts. I haven't done a whole lot, but I've got a 4-day weekend coming up thanks to the holiday.
Cool.
I had more time to do some iPhone photography this weekend, but it's going to be a busy one for me though. Weddings.
Two weddings?
Three.
Three? Oh, jeez.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Got to pay for that camera.
Got to pay for the camera. And the mortgage and the bills and ay vey. Anyway, so how about we dig into some news?
News team, assemble!
We don't have a lot, but we do have some pretty interesting news bits. The first thing, well, let's start off with the quick one. HTC is in disarray. Basically, no one's buying the goddamn phones and... poor guys, they're kind of falling apart. Everybody is quitting. Everybody is urging everybody else to quit in Twitter posts. What do you guys think? Now let's start with you, Joe.
Well, I was actually surprised to see it, you know, with all the hype and everything that was going on with the HTC. And, you know, from all the tech news that I listen to, they're like, oh, this looks like a great phone. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, okay, great. Did anybody buy it? And it sounds like they didn't, but they've had, a lot of, employees, I guess, go out the door and, now they're trying to figure out what to do. I guess the HTC One was a flop. which for me, I wouldn't buy a phone for Facebook, you know.
Oh, you're talking about the HTC First.
Oh, First. Sorry.
Yeah.
That was a flop.
Tremendous flop.
Yeah.
And if, from what I understand, the whole Facebook homepage thing that they made is also a tremendous flop.
Yeah, I never looked into it because I really didn't care about it.
Yeah, not many people did. I think of all the Android users, which is considerable, they've only had like 1 million downloads, which is not a lot of people.
That's not surprising to me at all. I mean, for as many users as Facebook has, and you know, I mean, I use Facebook, and all of mm-hmm. us do, really.
Oh, we all do. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Everybody still loves to bag on Facebook and say how much it sucks, even though we all use it every day. But with that being said, I think that basically a Facebook launcher is not something that people either want to have or want to admit that they have.
Yeah.
You know? It's if I had an Android phone, probably would not have Facebook Home because it'd just be one of those things where, I don't know. To me, it's just like being in my mid-30s. I think people would just wonder, like, you know, what's wrong with you? Are you a teenager or what's your deal?
Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing too is that when you look at the Android market, most of the people that use Android are going to be the ones who already have like the Samsung what's it, Galaxy and others. Why would they want a virtually throwaway phone? It's like,
well, you can install it on your Galaxy phone too.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I mean to buy the HTC First, it when you aim for when you aim for a certain dynamics or not dynamics
demographic
demographics, thank you, like the low end, you're going to be disappointed. Why do you think Apple and Samsung have, you know, great success? Because they aimed high. HTC aimed low.
Oh, that's
low.
Not true. Samsung did aim low. Samsung aims all over the place.
Well, yeah, but you know, they're not going, oh no, this phone is garbage, it's not working, nobody's buying it. HTC First is, you know, nobody's buying it.
Yeah.
I think they were aiming for a demographics that, number one, didn't have an Android, and number two, probably didn't realize that, you know, Androids do exist. And if you're aiming for that type of a demographics, then you're going to be disappointed.
I personally think that they were aiming for a younger demographic, and it just didn't appeal to them. Simple as that. I mean, believe it or not, I think the younger generation that's coming up isn't using Facebook as much as the older demographic. I think the younger crowds are using more Twitter. They're using
Tumblr.
Tumblr. Actually, yeah, Tumblr is really big among the younger communities.
Well, they just got bought.
Yeah, so we'll see how much they keep using it. So, I mean, just on the surface, I just thought the HTC First was just an utterly stupid idea by HTC. I mean, if you're already in the hole and betting everything on the one, the last thing you want to do is kind of take some, you know, just pull something out of the dirt and launch something. And, oh, I don't know. I haven't seen any official numbers on the HTC One, though.
Yeah. But from what this article was saying, it didn't sound like it was doing too well either.
It's like I hear the tech crowd loving the phone, but I don't think a tech crowd can boost.
They can't sustain a company.
Yeah, I don't think they have the pull to bring everybody else into the fold. I don't think they could convince everybody else.
It said it was a let's see, several sources pointed to Chow, the co-founder, he said, who had promised to step down if the flagship one isn't a retail success. And I think he did step down.
I didn't see that part.
No, no, somebody else. But, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see if he does step down. You know, it's like, that's how you bet your job.
Yeah. Anyway, that's HTC. We'll pour a brew down on the ground for you guys. I'm really disappointed. If the HTC One doesn't do well, if HTC folds, then, you know, I'll be disappointed because I think that that phone really had a lot of promise. And I think it was, I wish it was the spark that Apple would need to better themselves, but, you know.
To innovate, yep.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, on to other news, and this is some pretty amazing news. Petapixel has this article about a man who sticks his camera phone out of his storm shelter and captures the tornado up close and personal. it doesn't say whether it's an iPhone 5 or if it's an iPhone at all. All it says is just it's a smartphone. But holy crap, the footage is amazing. Have you guys seen this?
Oh, yeah.
I have seen it. I'm inclined to think it's an Android phone for two reasons.
Go on.
The first reason is the orientation of the video.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a portrait orientation, which everybody that listens to our podcast knows is correct.
Oh, hang on. But if you read the PS at the bottom of the article, the guy who took the video apologizes for the vertical effect. Due to the fact that that's the only way he was able to get the phone out of the hole.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll let that slide then.
So with that fact, I would be inclined to say he is a listener to the Tiny Shutter podcast.
Well, here's the second reason why I think it's an Android.
Go on.
Because no iPhone user would risk their phone like that.
Yes. I was waiting for you to say that.
You know, you let you know, your freebie Android blow away in the storm. It's no big deal, but no one's going to do that to an iPhone.
What if he had, what is it? The LifeProof case.
Box or the, the Life.
All right. If you guys were in this position, in the safety of a shelter, notice that you had a chance to get some footage, would you?
Oh, heck yeah.
Dude, I would so be there.
I think I would do it too. If I was alone. If I had kids with me, then I probably would keep the phone inside because I'd need to call somebody afterwards.
I would have used my work phone.
Oh, see, some of us don't have two phones. All right. If my wife was with me and had her phone, I would then probably do it. Actually, you know what? I would probably use her phone.
There you go.
Give me that. Mine's important.
Yeah. Yeah. The footage is amazing.
I give her partial credit, like 10, yes. 11%.
It was her phone. Yes.
No more than 13. That's pushing it.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, that they were able to get this footage because, I mean, it shows, and apparently this, it looked like this, shelter was in the front of the of their house because you can see the neighbors' houses across the street.
Yes.
But just the force, you know, of a tornado, and granted, their street wasn't any, didn't get hit, but still trees came down. They probably had wind damage. Roof damage, all that type of stuff. Windows could be blown out and all that, but
yeah,
it was pretty, you know, amazing and awe-inspiring to see the amount of destruction that that can come from wind, and especially something that takes the form of a tornado.
Just the detail of those clouds moving that fast was just absolutely incredible. I mean, he was looking directly up into it. I mean, yeah. You got to see this from the inside point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely had a view of it. And I doubt he ever wants to see another tornado like that again.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. I feel, feel sorry for those people out there and hope that they're doing all right. But, you know, to pick up their lives again and be able to, you know, get things going is going to take a lot of time.
I mean, we all feel for the people in Oklahoma. You know, I personally have friends out there. They weren't anywhere near the tornadoes. It's kind of weird. Living in Massachusetts, my understanding of the size of a state is much, much different. Like, for example, I have the ability to go from Massachusetts to Maine, to Vermont, you know, to any number of my neighboring states, all within 3 hours. In some cases, within less than an hour. So moving around from one side of the state to the other is no big deal.
Yeah.
3 hour maximum. And so I'm talking to one of my friends out in Oklahoma. I'm like, are you guys okay? Everything all right? He's like, yeah, it was nowhere near me. He's like, it's a big state. I'm like, yeah, but you know, it was still in the state. It's like,
yeah.
Do you have any idea how big this state is? No.
I grew up in California, and it's I want to say 16 hours to go from the top of the state down to the bottom of the state. To go from Oregon to Mexico is, you know, it's an all day event.
Yeah.
And you just go for hours.
Yeah.
Before you can, you know, get out of the state sometimes.
So I have no grasp of that living in New England.
And for those people that live in Texas that are listening to this show, yes. You can stop yelling at your iPhone now. Yes, Texas is huge.
we get that. And guess what? That still doesn't help me comprehend it. So how about you?
Still in Texas.
Yeah. How about you, Matt? Do you have the same, since you live in New Hampshire, do you feel the same way or do you have a?
Well, no, because I used to live in Arizona.
All right, so screw you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, Arizona's
pretty big. I have the reverse thing that you have. I'm still, trying to get used to how close everything is here.
Yeah.
When I lived out west, it was no big deal to go 6 hours away for a weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, here 6 hours, holy hell, I'm like a billion states away in 6 hours.
It's pretty weird.
You know, except for this coming weekend in Maine, we figure it'll probably take us 10 hours to get to where we're going. And that's just in the neighboring state.
Yeah. And it's because of the roads mainly.
Yeah. The lack of them is the main thing.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Well, the further you get up in Maine, I think time shifts. I really believe there's a time hole there somewhere.
It's something. Well, what it is, I think it's in all of New England. They're not really fond of roads that travel east-west.
Yeah.
Do they zigzag?
No, they just warp north time.
And south, and that's it.
Yeah. You know what? You make a great point. North and south is easy. East and west is a pain in the ass because I could be – from here, I live in northern Massachusetts. I could be in Lincoln, New Hampshire, probably 2 hours. And it's a pretty good distance. And if Siska's driving, one of our cohorts over at the Lenswipe, then hour and a half. If I want to go from here to the western part of Massachusetts, probably 5 hours. And the distance is about the same, but there's just something about East and West that really does mess things up.
Yeah, it's not easy here.
And we've just totally derailed. So,
yes, we did.
So anyway, anybody who wants to check this out, we'll have a link in the show notes. Everybody should check out this video. It's a very incredible video. I mean, the detail is absolutely amazing, taken with the smartphone. And this guy's just up the ante for storm chasers, because this is the kind of footage they would die for. And I don't mean any pun intended on that one. It's just incredible. So there we go. Anyway, let us go into post pick of the week. And this week, it's my turn. And speaking of storms and all, the one I have in mind, I saw this a while ago. I think this was maybe last week. And it's a photo by Instagram user Tom Silk. And it is of a storm. You have clouds in the sky. You clearly see rain falling in the distance. But just so far away, I mean, really, really far away in the horizon, you see this bolt of lightning just streak down.
Okay, when you say last week and it says a day ago.
Oh, was it? Oh, my God. Jesus. My time.
I haven't really seen this one yet.
Time for me has gone crazy. All right, it was a day ago. You know why I thought it was a week ago is because in the Tiny Shutter feed, I had to go like 16 rows down.
So, oh, okay.
So I based it off of nothing. So, so it was a day ago. Still, amazing image by Tom Silk. And what's amazing about this is the cloud formations, the way that's moving. It's a very soft focus, just purely because the way the clouds are moving. And the way the rain is falling in the distance, it kind of has that ribbony effect, and it's very soft focused, except for that bolt of lightning, which is very crisp, very detailed, and very bright. And I just thought it was a very powerful photo. So that's my pick for this week. Everyone well,
he
should
did.
Check it out.
He, yeah, that's yeah, awesome. It is he a did super shoot cool
photo,
it.
And lightning photos aren't easy to do either.
He used an app. I forget what the app was called. He has it listed in the notes of that photo. Oh man, I have this app too. But it's a method in which you can capture lightning with your iPhone. Lightning chaser or something like that. Lightning photo.
Yeah, he said he took this. It looked like in Oklahoma.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Damn. Oh,
yeah, it's,
I'm glad he's safe.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that's my pick for this week. You'll be able to see the – I mean, if you're not looking at our Instagram Tiny Shutter feed, then you'll be able to see this in our show notes. And let us go into our post picks of the – no, not post picks of the week. Darn.
What about
focus points?
Focus points. Thank you. anybody have anything for a focus point?
I got one.
Go for it.
Flickr.
Ah, I was waiting for this one. I didn't mention it in our news feed. I thought we'd, I thought that was more of a lens wipe thing, but go on.
Well, you know, Flickr just changed. They upped the ante. And did some things that I thought was, beneficial and was going to make me use it more. Before they had a limit on how many photos you had with the free, where if you put in, you could only put in a max of 200 photos. Well, you could put in more, but the early ones will fall behind a curtain. And the new ones would show up. And so it wasn't really that good of a great of an app experience or user experience for me.
Yeah.
That was until, was it Monday of this week?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They came out with everybody gets 1 terabyte storage. And right now I'm using 0.019% of it. And, but they also changed the user interface, and so I'm really excited about what it can do. And I suggest to people that they go ahead and check it out, and post your iPhone photos there, and that would be my Oh, focus point.
Yeah, the new Flickr is pretty sweet. That's a good focus point.
How about you, Matt? Do you have anything?
Yeah. I have another way to hold your phone on a tripod.
Ooh. Ooh.
So a lot of people, especially if they do other types of photography, are probably aware of the company Manfrotto. They make a lot of really nice tripods and stuff. I use one of their carbon fiber tripods most of the time. And they have a it's basically an iPhone case. It's called the Klyp. It's spelled K-L-Y-P. Right now it's only available for the iPhone 4 and 4S. But I would say a fair majority of iPhone users probably still have one of those phones. The cool thing about this particular case is that the tripod socket is a separate piece that can clip on. So you don't have to have like a weird bulky thing, you know, in your pocket or whatever all the time. You could just clip on the socket part of it when you want to use it.
Yeah, one's enough.
And then the other cool thing is there's another clip that you can attach to the phone, which will then accept like an LED light or something like that. Oh. So if you're doing video or you just need to light a photo better, it gives you a way to mount an LED light basically right to the iPhone case just for some better lighting.
So, that's K-L-Y-P?
Yeah, K-L-Y-P, the clip.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I came across it recently. It's probably been out for a while, but I just came across it, and I thought it was pretty darn cool. And it's something that I'll be looking at if and when they come out with an iPhone 5 version.
Nice.
Very cool. Looks good.
I really want to emphasize the LED light that really helps a lot with low light work, and I've been doing more and more of that lately. It's something that I was playing around with during a wedding shoot that I did a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's something that I'm now transitioning to the iPhone photography that I do. So I want to do a nice, good series of nighttime photography with just the LED light in my iPhone. So,
cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be my preview pick for the week.
Now, does Manfrotto make their own LED light?
Yeah, they sure do. They have no shortage of them. They have a whole array of different ones.
Cool.
You know, just depending on how much light you want, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to make my own because I'm cheap.
Yes. I'm there too.
I saw one LED light that I could pick up at the Irving gas station pretty cheap. I think I'll get that. It's the first.
Oh.
So, very cool. All right. So, I think we can call it a week. I want to mention that we are going to start a Flickr group for the Tiny Shutter. This is something that we want to kind of plan ahead. I'm still playing around with the new Flickr. I think we're just going to spend a week playing around with the new stuff, and then by next week we'll be ready to announce something. So you'll be able to post photos to not only Instagram, but to Flickr as well.
Woohoo!
Yay! Sweet. And for those that want to share your photos, and you are on Instagram, simply use the hashtag TinyShutter, and you'll be able to share your photos, and everybody will be able to see them, and we will be able to praise you. Hooray. And if you want to contact us at, we have questions at tinyshutter.com if you want to send us a line. If you want to send us a line through Facebook, we have our own page there, facebook.com/tinyshutter, and we are at tinyshutter on Twitter. And, oh, before we go, we didn't have time to read this email on the air here, but we got an email from Eric Sutton, who shared his email experience with the Hipstamatic people using the Ogle app there. You know how last week we were saying how buggy it was and how miserable I was. And well, the one update I will mention that Eric is sharing is that at some point, Hipstamatic will be able to share photos with the Ogle app. And so, yeah, that feature is coming. But my big thing was that feature should have been there since day one. So still minus points for Hipstamatic and their crazy apps. So there we go. But anyway, we'll touch on that next week. We didn't have time this week. I really wanted to make emphasis on that Oklahoma video, because that guy deserves major, major props. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of that, does the guy have a name? I don't think we mentioned his name once.
Hold on.
I am such an idiot
Charles
today.
Gafford III.
Charles, you rock.
He actually has a link. Hold on. He's got a Google Plus. I'll link that in the show notes. It looks like he's a young kid.
Interesting. Should we get him on the show?
We could.
Let's give it a try.
Sure.
It's been a while since we've had a guest.
Okay.
Cool. Let's do it. Yeah. And by let us do it, why don't you get in touch with him?
I'll message him.
I kid. All right, that's all for this week. Everybody, I hope you take lots of pictures, and see you next week.
Thank you.
Hang on.
What?
Joe, where can they find you on the web?
You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira.
How about you, Matt?
You check me out on Twitter and Instagram at M Hoffman Photo.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, in bed in a little while because I probably need the sleep. I've been going all over the place this week. So that's all for this week. Anyway, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.